This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. A pleasure to have you with us here on the Golf Podcast. It's Dave Kellner with Mike Grennan for the penultimate time this year. We will be doing an extra podcast next week with a little bit of a review of last year, last season, and a look ahead to next season. So that's coming up next week. But we do have a couple of decent tournaments this week, Mike, with the Nelson Mandela Championship and the Thailand Golf Championship. Mike, first of all, good afternoon to you. How are you faring at the moment?
I'm very well, David. Nice to be in the studio with you again rather than on the phone.
Yep. It's a pleasure to have you. Have you in here?
Yeah, it's better to be together, isn't it?
Yep. It is.
Than heavy breathing down the phone.
And with you being here this week, it meant that you could at least buy one of those free lunches.
You are on a run.
That you've had on layaway
for a while.
I think
you've won the last four, haven't you?
I think so.
I bought you one today. Painful. still owing you two lunches because Francesco Molinari, who played like a donkey, still beat Gary Woodland, who played like a bigger donkey.
He played like an ass, didn't he? Whereas
that
Francesco just played like a donkey, which was nice. We are going to do one more podcast before the year's out.
Yeah, this is our last tournament podcast, Dave, isn't it? This is our last tipping on tournaments, but next we're going to do a roundup of you, maybe some major bets or a bit of thought for next year. Give people something to listen to over Christmas.
That's it.
Repeatedly.
Precisely. You were talking last week about considering Rory McIlroy for a majors bet. Does his performance in Tiger's tournament
put me off?
Put you off anywhere?
No, it doesn't. No. He travelled from Australia, wasn't it? Australia he travelled from. I did think about backing for that event, but then I just thought he's that win will have done him the world of good. Did you watch a lot of it, Dave? I didn't watch masses of it, I have to say. I didn't expect him in the end to win, so I didn't back him.
I did watch quite a bit of it, actually. I found it a very enjoyable tournament, Tigers tournament. In the end, Zach Johnson coming out in top in what was arguably the most incredible finish of 2013. Zach Johnson came from 4 back with 8 to play, chasing down Tiger, hit one in the hazard on the 72nd hole. It looked like Tiger, as long as he got up and down from the greenside bunker, would win the event again, which he did, but Zach Johnson holed out from the drop zone to make an unlikely par and then went on to beat Woods in the playoff. Woods missing a 3-footer. The Tiger of old, we're talking 8, 9, 10 years ago now, he would never have been beaten 4 up with 8 to play.
Well, he didn't often lose from that position, did he, if ever? So, yeah, it's probably a fair comment.
But, yeah, I thought...
He's not the Tiger of 8 years ago, is he?
No, it's not.
No one thinks that he is. But I still wouldn't mind being the agent for someone who's able to win 5 times a year. Mm. And he will win more majors, I don't care what anyone... Unless he gets injured, he will win more majors.
Yeah. Remains to be seen.
I think he will.
He's 62 on Friday. Was absolutely stunning, Mike. He missed one fairway, hit every single green, was in complete control of his golf game. At that moment, you're thinking he's going to win another 10 majors because he was just in complete control. But then there was a little bit of pressure on the
I don't think
Saturday.
He'll win
a little
another
bit
10.
Of pressure on Sunday. No,
I don't think he'll win another 10
might win another 2 or 3.
But people, people get a bit obsessed about majors. There's only 4 a year. There's lots of good players. A bad round here or there can ruin your chances. And I just think that Tiger is too good not to win more majors. He's won 12, hasn't he? So is it 12 he's won off? 14 he's won, hasn't he? 14, sorry.
Yep.
4 more to do to catch Nicholas. I think he'll do it. I do. I'm not saying he's a certainty to do it, but I think he'll just about get there. He'll get to 18, I think.
You think he'll get to 18?
I think he'll win 4 more, yeah.
Okay.
I do. But it's getting tougher. I think McIlroy could have a really great season next year, as I said last week. But there's lots of other good players as well. But just because you don't win a major doesn't mean that you're not a great player. That's my view.
Thomas Bjorn remains one of the, in my opinion, one of the most underrated golfers in the world, especially price-wise. He always seems to be overpriced, Thomas Bjorn, and he won the Ned Bank Golf Challenge, closing with a 65 to win from Sergio Garcia. He just seems to relish the challenge when he's in contention. He's grizzled and he seems to appreciate the heat of battle, doesn't he? He's one of those golfers that you're not concerned when he's in contention that he's not going to close. You think he's going to close out an event. That's what I always feel with Thomas Bjorn.
Yeah, he hasn't won a major, and he had a very big chance to win the Open one year where he probably did collapse a little bit.
Yeah.
But he's just a tremendous player. His wedge play is superb, isn't he? And Thomas Bjorn is a credit to the European Tour, really.
And it would be remiss not to mention another man that is definitely a credit to the European Tour. Didn't talk about in last week's podcast, Miguel Angel Jimenez, winning for a fourth time at Fanling in the Hong Kong Open. Clearly an event he relishes, and he's broken his own record, oldest man to win on the European Tour. He's now oldest man and second oldest man to win on the European Tour.
And Dave, is he 49 now?
Yes.
So he is very soon going to be able to play on the Champions Tour, isn't he, in America, where he could earn a lot of money. You'd have to say he'd be a major force on that tour, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
but
without a doubt.
There's absolutely no way you could say he wouldn't win again next year on the European Tour, is there?
No, I think he might do.
Mm.
He's not someone that that needs... he's not a pure physical specimen, is he, by any stretch of the imagination, Miguel Angel Jimenez?
No, that's a fair call.
He does say that he's stretching every morning, he's doing a little bit of yoga. He's just such a fun guy to watch.
Great
such
player,
a fun guy
great
to
player
watch.
And a great character, Dave, and long may he prosper.
Let's have a look at this week's events then. We've got the Nelson Mandela Championship and the Thailand Golf Championship. Those are the two events that we're going to look at. We've also got the Shark Shootout, which is Greg Norman's event as well. But we're having a look at the Nelson Mandela and the Thailand Golf Championship. We'll start off with the Nelson Mandela Championship. Brandon Grace is the 14-1 favourite. Darren Fickart and George Kutsaya, both 16-1. Garth Mulroy and Jaco Van Zyl, both 20s. Richard Finch, Romain Vatel and Shiv Kapoor, all 25s. And it's 28th bar. This tournament, Mike, has extra significance with the death of Nelson Mandela last week. And it's now a Wednesday to Saturday event with Mandela's funeral taking place on the Sunday. Perhaps there's going to be a little bit of extra pressure on the South Africans. Impossible to tell, really, but there's little doubt about it. This tournament has gained extra significance with the death of Mandela last week.
Yes, it has, Dave. Obviously, the schedule's moved, and we'll have to see how it impacts upon players, whether it makes it, for me, a very difficult tournament to judge. For a whole host of reasons. That whole Mandela issue and the emotion that will be there, particularly for the South African players, the fact that they haven't played at the course for 5 years in anything approaching this type of event. And the weather's going to be very poor as well, I'm led to believe. It makes it a little bit of it. I have to say that there are a couple of players I fancy, but I'm not having a bet. I won't be having a bet myself in this event because of those factors. So I'm not going to put up an outright tip in the event. But it'll be interesting to see how it goes. The weather could ruin it a little bit, I think, particularly if they've got to get done by Saturday evening.
You think
it might struggle to make 72 holes this event.
It was farcical last year. Scott Jamieson won the event. Yeah,
it was a joke tournament.
Talking about the weather, it was reduced to a par 65, wasn't it? And they only got 36 holes in, so let's hope we don't have anything like that. Just a little bit of...
It's raining today in South Africa.
Yeah.
Today being Tuesday, very heavily for the Mandela event and at the stadium. And it's strange because it's out there summer, isn't it? But we're told, if it bears it out, that the forecast is not good. The lack of course form and all the elements of the Mandela thing make it tricky for me to really strongly fancy someone.
They're playing at Mount Edgecombe Country Club in Durban for the tournament for the first time. And it's a short golf course, measures just 6,612 yards from tee to green. And at a number of the finishing holes, water comes into play. The holes that really catch the players out at 14, 15 and 16, apparently. They could decide who wins the championship. The course, as you mentioned, hasn't hosted an event like this for 5 or 6 years now. Did host a couple of events on the Sunshine Tour in 2007 and 2008. Steve Van Vuren won in 2007. Mark Merlus won in 2008. Darren Fickout was in control of that championship.
It's a course where the cream rises to the top.
It is. Darren Fickout was in control of the championship in 2008 on the Sunshine Tour, but he faltered badly in the closing stages. So no pick for you this week.
No, Mike. No pick for me, Dave. I'll mention a couple of players, but no pick.
I've got a couple of selections, actually.
Go for it, pal, go for it.
Yeah, I've got a couple that I quite like here. The first one's Oliver Fisher at 50-1. He's going to be my number one selection. I always feel with these South African events, there's opportunity for talented Europeans to prosper, because the South African contingent, barring the top three or four in the betting, aren't that good. They aren't that strong, and we've seen that throughout the last couple of years. It's usually a top South African or a European that wins these events. And Oliver Fisher, good prospect, very good prospect, winner of the Czech Open in 2011.
The big one.
And he's admittedly a small event, but this is event, isn't it?
This is comparable, isn't it?
And he's probably not realised his potential yet, because he's a talented player. Played well last week to finish 12th in Hong Kong. Again, similar event to this one, one in Hong Kong. Was 7th in driving accuracy. I think you'll need to drive the ball well on this golf course.
For sure.
He was 16th in greens in regulation, finished 12th last week. Prior to that, he'd been tied 37th in the Alfred Dunhill Championship and tied 18th in the Perth International. So in solid form, Oliver Fisher.
Yep.
I thought it was a decent price for a young European who could go on to better things in his career. So 50-1, Oliver Fisher.
Fair call that, Dave. I had three players. I know you've got another tip, but I might as well mention, then you can have your final tip. I looked at Thomas Aiken, who I backed a couple of times recently. He's accurate and good greens in reg man, which I think you'll need here. But he just isn't putting well enough. He's just taking too many putts. So you have to hold some putts. But I'll be watching him, because the course really is up his street. He's a very good accuracy player, is Aiken, surprisingly so. Adilson da Silva, similar. Very accurate off the tee, very good at greens in regulation. Actually has some very good course form. A couple of top tens here, I think, da Silva.
Yeah.
The Brazilian. And the other one, a little bit short in the betting, though, perhaps, but the other one that I looked at was Søren Hansen. Again, a very accurate player. Was sixth in the Alfred Dunhill not more than 10 days ago. Then didn't play very well in Hong Kong. However, he is a good quality player in this field and does fit the course, but whether his price is good enough, I'm not sure it is. It's a little while since he's won.
Okay.
What's your second tip then?
My second tip's Eduardo Molinari.
Do you know what, Dave? I had a little bit of a look at him myself. He's a big price, isn't he?
He is, and that's what attracts me. 80-1 he is, Eduardo Molinari. This is a guy that 3 years ago was playing in the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
And when you consider that in this field, I think it's worth taking a punt with Molinari at a massive price.
It
really should suit him. He's accurate from tee to green. He's not putting well at the moment. But the thing with that is that he's had such a long spell on the sidelines in 2013 that maybe it's just taking him a few weeks to get his eye in. He's playing every week he can at the moment.
His form before his injury layoff was pretty decent, wasn't it? Since he's come back in the last month or so, it's not been so great.
It's not been fantastic.
Well, his price did catch my eye on this course, I have to say.
You are taking a definite punt with him, because injury did curtail that 2013 season, and in 2014 he's playing averagely at the moment, it has to be said, but he's a cut above a lot of these players at his absolute best.
Yep.
Most of them, in fact. So I thought 80-1 Eduardo Molinari was definitely worth a go on this golf course that should suit him and in this field.
Totally get that, dude. He might bomb out again, but I get that. I honestly had a very good look at him myself.
Only one other player really caught my eye in this field, and it's Michael Howie again. 80-1, isn't he?
Yes.
You don't know what you're going to get.
He'll either
we say it every week, don't we? But you're not entirely convinced how he's going to play. I think he's interesting at 80-1.
Yeah, Brandon Grace at his best would be the best player in this field, I think, pretty much. But hasn't been in stunning form, has he? And he's a bit short at the prices. George Coetzee, how many times have we said he's got to get a win on board? Well, this is the kind of event he's got to try and win one of these, hasn't he? Get the albatross off his back or whatever it is. Get something off his back anyway. So he'd be looking to win this week, won't he, obviously? And I guess Jacob van Zyl is an interesting profile for round here. They'd be the South African guys, but they're all a bit short.
And George Kutsaya, is this the sort of golf course for him?
No, not really. No, he's not immensely accurate off the tee, is he? So
he's more a big hitter that will spray it around a little bit.
Yeah, but you could argue that he's a quality above, as you've said about a couple of other players, but he certainly has got a lot more potential than the vast majority of the field. So sometimes those players can win on courses that aren't tailor-made for them in fields of this type. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, no, I understand where you're coming from there.
Yeah.
We've got the Thailand Golf Championship on this week as well, Mike. And Charles Schwartzel and Henrik Stenson are 9-2 joint favourites for this event. Justin Rose 7-1, along with Sergio Garcia, who's 7-1. Bubba Watson is 12s. Hunter Mahan and Ricky Fowler both 16-1. 25-1, Bernd Wiesberger and Kiradek Appibanrat. And it's 33s and bigger the rest. There's a little bit of civil unrest in Bangkok at the moment. I don't know if you've read about that in the news, but a few of the players not questioning their attendance to the tournament, but saying if things escalated, they'd have to look seriously at competing in this event.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of top players here this week that are here, obviously, for the appearance money.
Yes.
Mike, you've got Sergio Garcia and Charles Schwartzel in the field. They chose not to play in the events in the world's the end of season World
Dubai
Series
event.
The Dubai events.
Yeah, it's a bit strange here, isn't it?
It's got a lot to do with money, hasn't it? I just think that they weren't willing to play two events in the lead up to the DP World Tour Championship to qualify to play in that tour championship, but they're here at the end of the season
playing every week
and playing in Thailand where the money's on offer in the Nedbank Golf Challenge. I think they need to support the tour a little bit more.
I do too.
Yeah, but they are in the event this week.
But guys like Sergio just do what they want, don't they, to be fair? You know,
yeah.
And it's just the way it is, I'm afraid, in golf. It's a very individual sport and these guys don't seem to have a lot of loyalty to anything other than their bank balance.
Mm. It's the third edition of the championship, and for the third consecutive year, the host course is Amata Springs Country Club. Long golf course, measures around about 7,500 yards, and a course that does play into the hands of the long hitters, and that will be especially the case if the forecast rain arrives over the weekend. I think you're going to have to be pretty long off the tee. Schwartzel won the event by 9 shots here last year, having finished second to Lee Westwood in 2011. And Schwartzel and Stenson, joint favourites at the top of the betting, Mike.
Yeah, it's the market leaders for this. It's more like a handicap chase, isn't it? 9-2, 9-2, 7-1 than a golf tournament. There's a lot of shorties here, isn't there? Because the depth of the field is not very great. The first two or three columns are pretty strong, aren't they? And after that, it dips quite alarmingly in terms of propensity to win and ability to compete with players at the top end of the market. So any one of the first six or seven in the betting has got to have a chance, I guess, and lower down the market, it gets more difficult.
Yeah, I agree entirely. And I've got one pick here, and it's a guy that is towards the top of the market.
Okay, well, you like your favourites, so that's no surprise. I've gone for two bets here. One that's remotely at the top of the market, but not the market leader by any means, and an outsider. I'm going to give... I was a little bit torn on this between two Americans, but I'm going to give Ricky Fowler a push here. I did look very, very long and hard at Bubba Watson.
My guy at the head of the betting's a bigger price than Ricky Fowler.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, so right. He's at the head of the betting, but not right at the top.
Well, who have you picked then?
I've gone for Bernd Wiesberger.
Oh, right, well, he's not particularly at the top of the betting. You misled me there.
Yeah.
He's not even in the top seven in the betting. Yeah, Ricky Fowler's my pick, Dave, as an each way here. Just he's a little bit bigger. Is he 16-1 or 18 now with us?
16-1. Like nice that. Try, though.
Well, like, you've got to try, haven't you?
Yep.
He was second in the Australian PGA in his last outing behind Adam Scott. Hits the ball a long way, although he's... He starts on the US PGA Tour last year. Don't tell you that he did. He must have been playing a lot of three woods off the tee, but he certainly can. He can bullet it down there. Don't you worry about that. Has a win in Asia to his name.
Yep.
Won the 2011 Korean Open. Top 20 in the CIMB lately, also in Asia. So I'm hoping that he can. He hasn't had a year to remember really. Fowler. He was top 10 in the Barclays at the end of the season, which came hot on the heels of a top 20 in the US PGA. So he was in very good nick at the end of the season, but for his ability, you'd have to say it was a fairly moderate season. He's over here with his mum. He's got Asian links.
Well, he's going to win then, if he's got his mum supporting him.
I think so. I think he's obviously wants to end the season in good heart by bringing her all the way over there with him. I think he'd be focused on the job in hand. I think at 16s, he's a decent each way price.
Yeah, 16-1, Ricky Fowler. We've got the free lunch here then, because I'm more than happy to take you on with Bernd Wiesberger.
Oh, are you?
I'm more than happy. Yeah.
Yeah, go on. I'll go with that. Yeah.
He's so consistent. I've got a consistent guy against an erratic guy, as far as I'm concerned. I think this course will suit him absolutely down to the ground. He's long off the tee, very straight. Finished the season strong with the 2013 season on the European Tour. Finished tied third in Portugal. Backed that up with a tied 17th at the BMW. Tied 7th in Turkey. Disappointed slightly in the Tour Championship, finishing only 34th, which will have been a big disappointment for Wiesberger. He's actually got a win in South Korea as well. Won the Ballantines.
He did.
In 2011, I think it was, in South Korea. So Bernd Wiesberger, he's going to have a big week, I'm convinced. I'm going to point each way at 25-1. I like the price as well on Wiesberger. More than happy with that. A guy that's very, very, very consistent. Bernd Wiesberger at 25-1.
Yeah, I'm happy to take my 16-1 shot.
Yeah, that's fair.
You've given me a little bit of the market there.
I have, but I think in a match bet they'd be...
Fowler would be favourite.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
based on those outright prices.
Yes, but it would. I know what you're saying, though. Yeah. Wiesberger's probably more consistent, yeah. But Fowler's form has been pretty consistent over the last couple of months, Dave. When he's played at the back end of the US Tour, he was... in very decent form, and a 19th and a second in his last two outings. I think he's due a win, and I'm hoping it is this week. I did give Bubba Watson a very long look. He was a distant second last year behind Schwartzel, really flattered actually by his finish there, because he came with a 65 or something on the final day to climb the leaderboard, still finish about 11 shots behind.
Yeah.
Schwartzel. So he was although he was close to getting on my list, just a bigger price for Fowler made me go for Ricky.
And
Andy's love of Puma clothing.
And Bubba Watson, I still have that niggling fear in the back of my mind that he doesn't travel well.
Well, he's second in this last year.
Yeah, he doesn't embrace it, does he?
Do you think he gets car sick?
I think he gets a little bit homesick. I think he gets a little bit homesick, Bubba Watson.
Is that because he said that thing in France?
Not just because of that. That's got a lot to do with it, I must admit. But he always strikes me as a golfer that doesn't really embrace travelling.
Maybe, but he was top 10 in the HSBC recently, wasn't he? And didn't do that badly in the CIMB, finished behind Fowler, about 30th. But I know what you're saying, Dave. He's not won at an international tournament yet, has he? I don't think. So I do hear what you're saying, and he has all the hallmarks of being a good old boy, hasn't he? likes America. Yeah, I get that. I'm going for a guy I've actually picked in this event last year. And looked a certain place at a big price when he was in second place going at the final day behind Schwartzel. Didn't look like he could beat him. But when everyone else was shooting 6 and 7 under, he chose to shoot 3 over and missed out on a place.
I remember the guy. Is it Daniel Chopra?
Daniel Chopra, yeah. He finished 6th in the end, which is the all good each way bets finish there, don't they? So I'm going to give him another try, though, Dave. Obviously, he likes the course and should really have been in the top two or three last year. Has had a good season on the web.com tour and has got his tour card back for the main tour in America next year, where, let's not forget, he's got a couple of PGA wins to his name. So, I like Chopra as an outsider here. Missed the cut in Hong Kong last week, but before that, came with three good... relatively moderate start. He's had moderate starts in a couple of events, got going and finished top 15 in Indonesia the week before that. So I'm hoping that he'll start better this week, because he had a 75 in the first round last year and was totally out of the tournament last week, in Hong Kong. Let's hope that he can go a couple of places better at least than he did last year. It may be stretching it to say he'll win, but I wouldn't be at all surprised to see him there or thereabouts. And I think... at about 200-1. No, is that not right?
That's not quite the price. It was 80-1, wasn't it?
80s will do for me. I'm only joking. I knew what price it was. At 80s, he's a good each way bet, I think. He's good enough to win. He's won in good company. He won Mercedes-Benz on the US Tour.
I like him. I starred him off on my sheet. So
it's a long way as well, Dave. Yeah. Top 25, I think, on driving distance on the web.com last year, where there are some reasonably big hitters. So... I'm going to give him a go.
Yeah, like it. Daniel Chopra. There were a few guys on my list that just missed out in terms of price, really. Torbjørn Olesen, I think, could go well, but he's not in good enough form.
Underpriced for me, yeah, still.
Maybe 40-1, though. He's blinking good.
Oh, he's good.
40-1.
He's
going to come back on a golf course this, isn't he?
He'll come back. He'll definitely come back, because he's got too much ability. And he might be inspired by Thomas Bjorn's win. Were you going to say that?
No, I wasn't going to say that.
Bite into that.
No, I'm not a great believer in that either. But having said that, a lot of the French players do tend to win in those close-knit groups do tend to win in clumps, don't they?
Sometimes not.
Kiradek Happybarnevat.
Oh yeah, he must have a chance.
He's got a great chance, hasn't he? Just a little bit too short. He's the same price as Wiesberger. Maybe not as proven as Wiesberger just yet.
But of course, he's in the right place and was sixth here last year.
Yeah, he's got the course
form. So he has got course form, and he's in very, very, very solid form, isn't he?
What about at the top of the betting? Do you think Stenson or Schwartzel should be favourite for the event?
They're joint favourites, aren't they?
They are.
I'd have that about right, Dave. I don't want to sit on the fence, but, you know, with Stenson's amazing form over the year, he's been the best player in the world, arguably, in the last 6 months. And Schwartzel's great win last year in what was a weaker field, though. They're about right for me. You saying that Schwartzel should have been favourite?
No, I think Stenson should be clear favourite. Yeah. You look through Schwartzel's profile. I know he does tend to win these weaker events, but when he comes up against top quality players. He's won a Masters, but you look around.
You could see I was looking quizzically at that.
I could see you were looking quizzically at that, but he's won a Masters, but he's not won any other big events.
No, he probably hasn't at this stage. He's won, he might be a bit of a flat track bully, I guess.
Yeah.
That's a fair call. I hear what you're saying.
I think Stenson should be clear favourite given the season that he's had. He's won two tour championships.
Yes.
There might be a question about fatigue with Stenson, because he looked tired late on.
He did. And he said, I'm running on fumes.
Yeah, he has. So that might be why the joint.
That said, Dave, before a couple of these tournaments, including the Dubai event that he won, he was saying, I'm a bit injured. Yeah. I think he likes to get his price pushed out so he can back it.
Maybe so, yeah. Do you think he's not earned enough money this year?
Yeah, he's got a bit to catch up on. Where he lost a bit, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Henrik Stenson hasn't played here, so I suppose he has played a few rounds here, but he's not played competition play here, Henrik Stenson. But this golf
he'll
course
have his 3-wood out, bombing it down
precisely.
The fairway.
He will. He'll be hitting that 3-wood. He hits that 3-wood 350 yards sometimes. Yeah. He's amazing with that club.
So he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Their chances are clear, aren't they? Who's next in the betting?
Garcia and Rose, both the same price.
Well, Garcia had a good finish last week, didn't he? Rose, I'm not so sure at the moment about Rose at that price. You?
No, I agree. I'd be on Garcia over Rose.
Let's be clear, Dave. This is very end of season stuff, isn't it? I'm glad this is the last tournament. These guys must be feeling the same. Let's have a little break and get ourselves up and running for the start of the US tour in January. They must be feeling the same. A lot of these guys are there, as you said earlier, for the money, aren't they?
They are, precisely. Mark had said our compiler's got some thoughts on these two events as well. In the Nelson Mandela, just one keep for me here, Michael Hollick. It's his home course, which gives him an advantage, but he's also been putting in some good efforts in the co-sanctioned events added to his Sunshine Tour events. Efforts. I don't think he'll win, personally, Michael Hollick. But we'll see. Nelson Mandela. And in the Thailand Championship, he's just put this guy's name in because it's such a long name.
I saw that.
I don't even know if I'm going to try and pronounce his name. But Mark Adsez says, another top-heavy event and all the top runners should be around the top of the leaderboard. I'm keeping one player who is a juicy price in the market this week. Jazz Janawattanond is his name. He's a young Thai player, a teenage phenom. Lacks experience, but he's had some good performances of late. Tough ask, but he will still want to impress on home soil. So Jazz.
Price is he?
Jazz in the 66-1 he is.
Yeah. Well,
the only thing I know about him, I've seen some clips of him on YouTube, and that's it.
I didn't know anything about him, I have to confess. Ignorance is not bliss, but that's the truth. Mm. Alex Shaker was an outsider I looked at as well, Dave, by the way, who's got some form here in Thailand and was 12th in Hong Kong last week, and is someone who I wouldn't be at all surprised to see in the top 10 without winning. That'd be interesting to see. So, of the very top of the market, you'd go for Stenson above the others, would you? I'd go for Watson, I think I have to say.
Would you?
At the prices, yeah.
I'd go for Stenson, even though I understand and take into full consideration the fact that he might be fatigued. I still think that he's just playing incredible golf and this is going to be tailor-made for him.
I hear what you're saying. So. He's been outstanding, hasn't he? And you're probably right. Mm. Maybe he should be favourite, to be fair.
Recap then, Mike.
Recap. No bets for me in the Nelson Mandela.
Our fellow podcaster Lee Phelps won't be happy with that because I took...
You took the no-bet option.
I took the no-bet option
Kevin
last week.
Kevin Pillane option.
And took the brunt of it from Mr. Phelps.
Well, there you go. Yeah. I'm willing to... I'm not intimidated.
And in the
what are your picks?
Yeah, my picks in the Nelson Mandela Championship, I'm going with Oliver Fisher.
Yep.
Point each way at 50-1. And I'm going to have a point each way on Eduardo Molinari at 80-1 as well. In the Thailand Golf Championship, just the one pick for me here, Bernd Wiesberger, a point each way at 25-1. And I'll be reasonably happy if he usurps Ricky Fowler.
Thanks for that. I'm having Ricky Fowler at 16. I'm having 27 points each way as it's the end of the season. No, I'll have a point each way. Point each way on Ricky Fowler and the same on Daniel Chopra at 16s and 80-1 to hope to go. Finish the season with a bang. Who is the player you don't want to win?
Michael Hoey. Tempted to shove him in the Nelson Mandela, but just preferred Eduardo Molinari at the price at 80-1. Wouldn't be a surprise if he won, but it wouldn't be a surprise at all if he failed to even feature. Michael Hoey.
Anything could happen.
I'll go with Michael Hoey as the guy I don't want to win.
Probably Thomas Aiken in the Nelson Mandela's. I've backed him a couple of times lately, and Bubba probably in the tie event. Mm.
We will be back next week, folks.
Out on Wednesday or Thursday, as a kind of a review of this year and a preview of next.
Probably be Wednesday.
Happy to take on board any comments, aren't we, on Twitter?
Definitely.
If people want to ask any questions or make any points, we'd probably cover them, won't we, next week, because we've no tournament to talk about. It's an end of year jamboree.
Yeah, we'll do things like best round, worst bet, best bet, that sort of thing.
We're going to have roller cola and sausage rolls as well, aren't we?
We are. We're going to have party sausages next week. At DKLNet and at MGrenham, do tweet us if there's anything you want us to cover on the end of season podcast or end of year podcast. We will do next week. At DKLNet and at M. Grenham. Should be good fun next week. Make sure you get your bets on for the Nelson Mandela Championship on Wednesday or before Wednesday, because the event is a Wednesday to Saturday event and the Thailand Golf Championship starts early Thursday morning.
Does it? Yeah.
Early Thursday morning. So
yep.
you need to start thinking about
South African
now.
One, you don't get fooled by the fact that it's not a Sunday finish anymore, as you stated.
Thank you, Mr. Grenham.
Thank you, Mr. Kellner.
And we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening to the Golf Podcast. Remember to tweet us anything you want us to cover off next week. And we'll speak for you for the last time in the year on next week's Golf Podcast. Speak soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.